First Samuel chapter 1. And if you don't know where it is, it's before 2 Samuel.
Wow.
Oh, goodness. Okay. In the Old Testament, brother, that's absolutely true. So 1 Samuel is before 2 Samuel. It's after Ruth, okay? Yeah, let's look at verse 9, 10, and 11 there of 1 Samuel. It says, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. And now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. A little, she was in deep, deep prayer. That's what it says right there. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she wove a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. She had a specific prayer for specific things. She didn't ask for a child. She asked for a man child. She was specific with God. And let me tell you, folks, before we pray, we need to be specific with the Lord when we pray. She was specific, and we're going to see the Lord give her exactly what she was asking for. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for Hannah, for the example of a godly mother, for the example of a woman of deep, deep faith. She believed in you. She trusted you. She left the results to you, Lord, and she reaped the blessings. And, Lord, may we have, even in our church, many Hannahs, women of faith, and not just faith, but a strong, strong faith. Lord, I just pray, teach us tonight as we go through this passage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we see right here that Hannah, actually the message today is the prayer of a broken heart. The prayer of a broken heart. And we see right here, we're going to focus on her prayer. And we see really that this is a woman that is broken. She is broken. You know why she's broken? Because in that time in Israel, every woman's desire or dream is to have children, to give children to their husbands. Not just one children, many children. That was the Jewish culture. It was to give many children to their husband. So can you imagine the heart of Hannah? She could not bear children. The Lord closed her womb, and she cannot bear children. So she was in bitterness of soul. I mean, she was really there. She came to the Lord, and she prayed. But she, one thing, what she did right here, she was praying, believing. She believed in the God of Israel, and she believed that only Him could help her. And let me tell you, turning this around, isn't that times in our lives that when we pray, we pray believing that God is the only help we have, is the last hope we have. We can't go anywhere else. We don't know how can people, anybody can help us. You ever been in that situation? Is the Lord, you're the only source that I have. That was Hannah. She went to the temple, and the Bible says, look in verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. So this prayer, it was a deep prayer of a broken heart, and it was tears of pain, so to speak. That was intense, intense prayer that was going on right here. And when she prayed, she asked specifically for one thing. She didn't went there and pray for 1,000 things. She went there with one purpose, to pray for one specific thing. You know, sometimes that's what we need to do, is pray for a specific thing. But you know what? We need to leave the results to God. You know, don't misunderstand me here and say, if only I go there, I'm going to go there to the church, I'm going to pray for a specific thing like Hannah, and God's going to hear me. Sometimes God chooses not to answer certain prayers. And we have to leave the results to God. I believe that was Hannah. I don't think Hannah, the way she is right here, she was not going to walk away from God. She was not going to say, okay, you don't listen to me. I don't want to do it to you anymore. She was a woman of deep, deep faith. But she left the results to God. And she says right here, if you give me this man child, I'll give that man child back to you. Wow. She just wanted to be a mother. See, for the sake of introduction here, in the 16th century, a man named John Knox, everybody ever heard about this guy, John Knox, was used by the Lord to bring many people to faith in Jesus in Scotland. Those were hard days for the true Church of God. There were hard, hard times in those days. Bloody Mary, which was not a very good person, was persecuting true believers in the name of the Roman Catholic Church. All right, we have to say the way it is because that's the way it's in history. Sometimes we don't want to mention certain denominations, but that's the way it is. So many hundreds of people were burned at the stake for their faith. Can you imagine that? And in the midst of this horror, John Knox stood out as a beacon of faith, courage, and zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. At one point, as he prayed in the garden outside his church, I believe the name is Edinburgh, great God, give me Scotland or I die. That was his words. That was his passion, his zeal. His burden was so great for his people that he would rather die than see them go to hell. And I tell you why, if we look at the world through the eyes of Christ, you know, when the Bible says that Jesus said, I believe in Matthew, when Jesus said, when Jesus looked at the multitudes, he was moved with compassion, the Bible says. That means literally that God, Jesus was crying out, his heart was broken because they said, because they were sheep having no shepherd. Can you imagine? You look at the multitudes, you say, Where is the shepherds of Israel? And it broke God's heart. So if we look at the world through the eyes of Jesus, it's going to break our hearts. Definitely it's going to break our hearts. You go to a ball game or you watch a football game on your TV and you see, well, 50,000 people sitting in there. I don't know. I'm in your stadium to 20,000. I don't know. I know soccer games are about 50,000 people, 60,000 and 70,000 people. I don't know here in America. I don't know here in America how many those stadiums take. 30,000? I don't know. But just about that, yeah. But think about it. How many souls in that place, if they were to die in that moment, would see heaven? I mean, sometimes we think, you know, or we don't even think about it, or we don't put much thought into it. But if we really look at that multitude through the eyes of Jesus, it's going to cause us the same thing it did to John Knox. Great Lord, great God, give me Scotland or I will die. So the passage before us today presents a woman with a similar burden right here. In the Jewish culture, a woman wanted to be a mother. A woman wanted to give her husband as many children. Today is like, we got one. Oh, you know, according to statistics, by the time this kid goes to college or leaves college, it's about $300,000 or $400,000 or $500,000. So we just have one kid. Listen, we have three kids and we never put a price tag on any of them. If we're going to put a price tag on a kid, you're not going to have any kids. You just, you know, you praise God that you have one and you raise him in love, you know. And if you have to eat tuna fish 5 days a week, then you eat tuna fish 5 days a week. You know, oh, good night. And it's okay. It's amazing how society explains these things. And now people, of course, and I was talking actually with one yesterday, and we were talking back and forth. He asked me, oh, I asked him, how many kids you have? I have two. I said, well, when you have number three, he goes, oh, I'm all set. I'm all set. I was like, really? Oh, goodness. But anyway. So John Knox was brokenhearted for his people. Hannah was brokenhearted because she couldn't give her husband any children. Hannah carried a burden that was so heavy to her to carry and bear. Hannah was a woman who was spiritually in deep trouble. She was troubled at the very soul. And when she went there to the temple, she put her heart towards God. And she said, God, the way we see it, Lord, you are the only source. You are the only hope that I have. Please help me. I want a man child. Wow. And let's look here at this, at Hannah from several points tonight. And number one, we see Hannah's predicament. We see this in verse 5 and verse 6. And look what it says here, Hannah's predicament. Look what it says. Look at verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord was shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. So you can understand right here the situation. This man has two wives. That's the first problem right there. But he has two wives, and of course, one has kids and the other one has none. So can you imagine the bully that is going on in there, the torment that Peninnah is doing towards Hannah there? About, look, I have my children. He loves me more than you because I have his children. You, I have no children. What are you doing in this house? Might as well get out. I'm just thinking about those things. I said, what are you doing? Just leave. We have children. You don't have. But he loved Hannah, the Bible says. So Hannah was one of two wives of this man named Elkanah, and you lived in the hill country of Ephraim near Shiloh. And then the other wife, of course, of Elkanah was Peninnah. Unlike Hannah, she had children because of this. Hannah was a very grieved woman. She desperately desired a child but could not conceive. Can you imagine her heart? Now, like I said in the beginning, in the Jewish culture, a woman's desire, a woman's dream is to have as many children as they could to give to their husband. Wow, what a world of difference from today, isn't it? Wow. So it's very common in the Jewish culture for families to have 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 kids and more. Today we think is an odd thing. You ever watch that show, The 19 and Counting? I love to watch that show. That was nice. I was like, wow, 19 and counting. Some other families had 12. Hey, my grandma and my grandpa, they had 7. So, and my dad says we didn't have any more children because my mom got sick. Otherwise, our family would be big too. But anyway, today, of course, family shrunk. Most families are one child, two children. Maybe you have 3. But so anyway, different generation, different age, different way of thinking. But we see right here that Hannah cried out to God about her situation. She promised the Lord that if he would give her a son, she would dedicate him back as a Nazarite, a man set apart to serve God. We see this thing about Nazarites in Numbers chapter 6, verse 1 to 8. So folks, how many Hannahs like this is there in this world today? A woman that is totally devoted to God, a woman that really believes in God, a woman that goes to the temple with a purpose to pray for a specific thing. And let me tell you, sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to be specific with the Lord. And that's what she did. She didn't pray, Lord, give me a child. She said, give me a man child. That takes faith. See, she didn't go to the doctor. She go to God. She go to God. How many women just like Hannah are carrying a heavy burden and a heavy heart as we speak? Some people might not, their desire might not be a child per se. And there's some woman out there that desire to have a child. Actually, we had in our church and when we had Gribbet one time, we had a family that they prayed for years for children and the Lord wouldn't give them a child. And before we know, they got one, and then they got another. Then they have two children today. But they prayed for several years for a child. When we were at First Baptist, it was the same thing. It was a lady there that they went for several years, and the Lord wouldn't give him child. And that woman would come to the, because the altar there was about 4 steps high, and we would see that woman there as a young lady. She's my age, and she would be there pouring her heart to God. She wanted a child at all costs. She wanted a child. You know what? The Lord gave her a child. She prayed for that specific, and she would ask. I mean, sometimes when the pastors would say any prayer request tonight, she would get up and say, "Could you guys please pray that the Lord give me a child?" That was her deepest desire, and the Lord gave her a child. These are people, you know, people of deep, deep faith. They believe in the God of Israel. They believe that God can do the impossible. And so both of these two ladies that I know, they went to the doctors, and the doctor said, "There's nothing wrong with you. I don't know why you guys don't have children." Maybe the Lord closed their womb just like they closed to Hannah here. Folks, how many Hannahs like this is there in the world? How many women just like Hannah, like I said, are carrying heavy burdens and they're very heavy in their hearts? Per se, and that might not be a child per se, but you know, if all of us would live in the same home, if all of us would understand the pain that we carry many times. And I say to people all the time, behind the smile many times, there are deep, deep sorrow. And some people sometimes don't like to show it. They have that between them and God, and they carry that burden for years and years and years. And as I know quite a few people like that. And it's sad, but you know that's life. You know, we live not in a perfect world. It's tainted with sin. So Hannah prayed addresses the arrogance of the proud, contrasting of a priest right there that was thought that she was drunk. So Hannah's story gives an insight into the heart of God as well. God does not despise human desire, okay? Let me put this again so you can understand. Our God does not despise human desire. He said, "I have this desire, but I don't think God will ever listen to me." You know what? Take your desire to the Lord and give him the desire, just like Hannah. What was Hannah's desire? A child. She went to the Lord. That was her deepest desire. But sometimes we think, "Oh, you know, I got to keep this desire because now, I don't know, God will never listen to me." He does listen. He does listen. If that desire is a biblical desire, don't go say, "Oh, I have a deepest desire to be rich and be a millionaire." And you say, "Listen, you're already rich." So God does not despise the human desire. Hannah's longing for a child was obvious, or was obviously placed in the heart of God by this woman. Her prayer reached the heart of God, and God, of course, opened her womb. It's interesting. So we see Hannah's predicament. What was her predicament? She was living in a home with another woman. Of course, this guy had two wives, and this woman had children, and Hannah had none. And can you imagine what was going on in that house? And also, she was in trouble, spiritually speaking, of soul. She was in deep despair. She was crying to God. She was begging God for a child. So see, we see Hannah's predicament. Number two, we see Hannah's wise investment. We see this in verse 1 and verse 2. So folks, there is always a choice to make when we are faced with hard predicaments. We can fall into despair, or we can give it to God. See, when we are in hard predicaments, when we have situations that's so deep, so hard, and we don't know how to resolve it, there's two things we can do. We can fall into despair and cry out to anybody out there to help us, or we can fall in the hands of the Lord and trust Him. Hannah was in deep despair. You know what she did? She went to the house of God. You know what she did? She gave it to the Lord. See, there are things that we need to do. We need to give it to God. That was a wise investment right here. We can fall into despair, like I said, or we can give it to the Lord. You see, Hannah's dilemma was not just one day thing. It was not just one day she woke up and she was in deep despair. That was a everyday situation. She woke up in the morning, Penina was there. She woke up in the morning, Penina's kids were there. She woke up in the morning and she felt lonely in that house. Imagine if her husband is out working. She had to put up with that family every single day. And a torment. And can you imagine? The Bible doesn't talk about it, but can you imagine the words that were said? Can you imagine the mockery that was put on her? That was not a one-day thing. That was a prolonged thing. So when Hannah walked into the temple, of course, she was in deep trouble, so to speak, spiritually speaking. So Hannah was so troubled that she could easily give up into despair. But she did not. She believed in God, trusted in God, and brought him her burden to him. Hannah invested her life in her family in spite of the fact that circumstances weren't as pleasant as they should have been in her home. Yet she persevered to make her investment in a family she loved. And let me put it this way. Hannah could walk away. She did not. But Hannah took her troubles to God and told God about it. And so let me tell you, folks, that's sometimes what we need to do. And sometimes that is like we go like this, me of little faith. Sometimes our faith is like, that happens to me too. Our faith is just, you know, we need to go to the Lord and tell the Lord about it, talk to him about it. So we see in this number two is a hand as investment. I tell you what, you never go wrong when you invest in the bank of heaven. You never, it's not Jesus that said, deposit your treasures, why, in heaven? On earth, guess what? We always have to make sure nobody steals our stuff from us. God says, put it in heaven. You know what? Hannah, that's what she was doing. She was investing on God. And you know what? When we invest on God, the dividends is a lifelong payment. It keeps giving. You know what? We keep investing, and it keeps giving. Letter A, we see Hannah's invested in her family in spite of her difficulty. Look at verse 1 right here. Let me get my glasses here. Look at verse 1. It says, now there was a certain man of, and this is a big name right here. Let me see if I can say this name. Ramatea Zophin. That's what it is. Ramatea Zophin. That's the name. Of Mount Ephraim. And his name was Elkanah. And the son of Jeroboam, and the son of Eliu, the son of Toyu, the son of Zaphu, and Ephraitite. And look what it says in verse 2. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Penina. And Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. See, God is specific about saying the Bible about her situation here. She had no children. The other one had children. Doesn't say how many children, but it says she had children. More than one, obviously. So right off the bat, we learned that Hannah was married to a man who had two wives. This is a recipe for disaster. One wife is enough, isn't it? Oh, goodness. I sit down with it. Let me imagine if you have two wives and you walk home and they are in a brawl. You know, what do you do?
Walk away.
go back to the car and go for a ride, right? I was thinking about this. It's like, oh, in the world. So that can be a very difficult situation there. So what if you go to take sides on one, the other one's going to kill you. And if you go take sides on this one, the other one's going to go after you. So what do you do? It's like, okay, you guys just take care of each other and I'll come back later. I was thinking about this. I was like, this is crazy. It's a recipe for disaster. Yes, Hannah was not looking for an exit. She stayed in the family, and she worked to make the best of a bad situation. I think one of the things that sustained Hannah here was the Bible says that he loved Hannah. He probably assured Hannah, you're okay. So note this. God never said the family would be an easy place to live. Some people think, you know, this is more like ladies. It's like, oh, we're going to marry and we're going to be happy ever after. We see this on the Disney movies, right? Oh, the prince married the princess and they were happy ever after. Let me tell you, That's not reality. Far from that. Why I say this? Well, you got two sinners, all right? Two messed up people coming from two messed up homes. And now they're going to try to build a home together. And they're going to be happy ever after. Listen, if you show me a family that say, this family is so perfect, they never had a problem all the years they've been married, I'm going to tell you, such a liar. And if they tell you that they never had a problem, I'm going to say, they're liars too. There's always problems. There's always disagreements. There's always things. You know what? But when two people are committed to each other, guess what happens? They work it out. How many times, my wife and I, we honestly, we don't yell at each other. But sometimes, like, honey, I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you either. So we talk about it. You know, so, and that's part of family, and we grow together in those things. But, you know, when we commit it to each other, we sit down, we talk, communicate, and we overcome those things. Because, again, let me tell you this. Nobody is perfect. I'm not perfect. Nobody is perfect. It's no such thing as a perfect family. But a such thing is commitment. When there is commitment, everything can be worked out. And let me tell you, that was Hannah here. Hannah was committed to that marriage. So was her husband, even though he had another wife. You see, family is not easy. And those of us who are married will agree with me. You know, it's a blessing to be married. I'm blessed. I'm glad I'm married. I'm blessed to be married. You know, it's been a great journey. But let me tell you, it's not easy. Because there's always problems. There's always one problem, another problem. There's always things. How you resolve those things? Together. How you deal with those things? Together. And that's how you do those things. Because otherwise, it's going to be everybody pushing against each other. But family are great and they are wonderful. But every one of them is filled with people that in their family, they have a potential for trouble and to lie and to mischief and all those things. So there will be disagreements, there will be trouble, but the secret lies in not running away, but to be committed to each other. Commitment is the key. Hannah was committed to her family. That's why she went to the temple to pray for a child, because she wanted that family. She wanted to feel part of that family, even though she was a wife of a guy that had two wives. So I believe this is in your outline. When we are committed for a cause, every problem can be resolved. When we are committed for a cause, every problem can be resolved. And believe me, doesn't matter how dysfunctional a family can be, when we are committed, everything can be resolved. Learn to make an investment in your family regardless of the difficulties you're facing in life. You know, one thing I do when I actually do a marriage counseling, I always give the guys, the husband and wife, a contract. And if they don't agree with that, they can just leave right there, because I'm not going to waste my time, neither I want them to waste their time. And the contract says this: I am committed to this marriage. Sign it. Otherwise, why am I going to give you marriage counseling? There's no need for it. You have to be committed. So they sit down, and both of them, I say, listen, you want to work this marriage? Yeah. You want to work this marriage? Yes. I'm not here to point fingers at you. We're here to resolve a problem. You guys have a problem, let's put this thing together. Okay, let's build this thing. Let's look at God's word, build this thing together. I'm going to help you guys. Here's the contract. Are you committed to this marriage? Sign it. If this is not signed, neither I'm going to counsel you. You need to go find somebody else. I'll be honest with you. And listen, I counseled many people out from outside this church that came here. And let me tell you, and still call me from time to time, I do the same thing to all of them. Has to be a contract. Has to be commitment. See, Hannah was committed for a cause here. And her commitment was to her husband, even though she had no children. But let me tell you, she took her family to church, and she went there, and she pour a heart towards God. She needed a child, and she had a deep desire, and she gave it to the Lord. So in that review, we see Hannah's investment in her family in spite of her discouragement. In spite of her discouragement. Look at verse 5. It says, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. See, the guy loved her and gave her a worthy portion, but the Bible says that he loved her. If something is going to sustain Hannah here, it was the love of her husband. Look at verse 6. And her adversary, of course, the other woman, also provoked her sore. Look at that word there. There was like a there was something that was hard on Hannah. For to make her fret, so to get her afraid, because the Lord had shut her up her womb. I'm sorry. Her husband's other wife, Peninnah, had children, but Hannah was barren, of course. And Peninnah used Hannah's barrenness as a means of ridicule her. She mocked Hannah and made her life miserable. Can you imagine if you're in that situation? I hope you never get in a situation like that of living with a guy that have two wives. But anyway, imagine if it was you in Hannah's place there. Sometimes we read these stories, we just look at it, but imagine if it was you, one of you ladies was in that situation. What would you do? Would you walk away and say, I had with this? Actually, most of America would walk away today. The way society is, they would just walk away. But not Hannah. Hannah took her family to the house of the Lord. So it seems to me that I detect a hint of jealousy in this home right here. I think Hannah was loved by her husband, but Peninnah had that her husband's children. Guess what? Peninnah was jealous of the love that her husband had for Hannah. And jealousy can be a detrimental thing in a home. I remember when I lived in Portugal, there was a neighbor that lived a couple blocks down from our home. I used to go by that house. I used to go by that street when I used to go to my grandparents' house, which they lived two blocks from my house. But that lady was so jealous of her husband. If that husband would even say something to a female, didn't matter what age, she would be running out of the house, grab him by the arm, and say, "You..." And all the nonsense that she was to say. And it's like, I heard that with my own ears. Can't be that jealous. We can see a jealousy right here towards them in this woman, Peninnah, right here. So I think this is on your outline. All of this criticism and belying made life practically impossible for Hannah, yet she continued to invest in her family. Note this, family is like that sometimes. Of course, I hope you're not involved in a polygamy relationship. I hope none of us are here. But I am referring to the discouragement that creeps up time to time in our homes. And it comes there and makes life hard for the people that live there. Husbands and wives, children all feel that they are unappreciated sometimes and taken for granted at the largest constant criticism many times. I tell you what. My dad was a good father, all right? Sometimes you just use your own examples. My dad was a good father, but the problems began to creep in the house when my dad began to drink. And when he began to drink more heavily, the problems got worse. And let me tell you, the atmosphere within the home, it was not good. And my mom used to cry. My mom, in deep in her soul, it was hard for her, especially, and I'm saying this in a very humble way, especially when my mom would go to my dad and I was there listening and say, listen, we need money to buy food. And my dad said, I don't have no money to give you. He drank his check away. It got that bad. And I could see my mom crying and tears crying. She had no food to give us. We were kids. If it was not for my grandparents, probably some of us would be buried today. But see, sometimes we think just idea of Hannah right here, I lived through that when my dad started abusing alcohol that bad. And praise the Lord just got him so sick that he quit alcohol and became the man that once he was when he walked away from that stuff. See, of course, I hope that, like I said, nobody's involved in those things. Sometimes people get discouraged and they fall at their fellow family members and what they say and do. But discouragement is not a reason to close the door to the family. No, you continue to invest in your family, in the people you love, knowing that in the day in you keep that course and you will reap a great harvest if you keep trusting what God called you to do. But let me tell you, friend, you may be defeated and discouraged with the way maybe in discouraging the family, but let me tell you, take your family to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. Give it to Him. Say, Lord, I cannot fix this. It's my family. I'm giving it to You. Take care. I tell you what, that's what I did many years ago with my family. It was a Sunday morning service. Our pastor was preaching on the family. And our pastor, Pastor Strickland, was preaching on the family. I took my wife by the hand and took my kids. We went to the altar. And I said, Lord, they're not going to pray. I'm going to pray. And Lord, this is my family. I give my wife to You and my children to You. My desire is for them to serve You. I want to serve You. We want to be in Your house. We want to, Lord, use us, all of us. That's what we did. We give our family to the Lord. You see, I believe this is in your outline as well. When we sow the right things, we will reap the right harvest. When we sow the right things, we'll reap the right harvest. Let us see Hannah's investment invested in her family in spite of desperation. We see this. Look at verse 5. It says, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So both of these verses in verse 6 as well tells us that Hannah was barren because the Lord had chosen this lot for her. She was in a situation that was the Lord's doing, and nothing she could do ever changed it. What Hannah did not know was that God's plan for her life was good plans. His plan was not to hurt her. His plan was to amaze her in His time. And let me tell you this. Sometimes we want it here and now. We want it. And God says, child, just wait on Me. Know what the Lord says? Wait on the Lord. Hannah wanted a child at all costs, but God was holding that back and saying, My time, I'm going to make you amazed. You know what? And He did. Note this. It may appear that the investments you make in your family are not paying off at the present time. It may look like your spouse and your children are not all you planned them to be, and or you prayed and hoped of them to be. And that is the if that is the case, let me encourage you to keep investing on them. Keep open the doors. Keep taking their names to the altar. Give them to the Lord. Your family is too important for you to stop investing yourself in them now. It may seem like you do all the giving and receive none in getting back. Sometimes, you know, we do, and we say, Lord, I'm doing all this. I don't see no fruits back. What are You doing with me? And I'll say to you, stay faithful. Stay the course. God is seeing. God is watching your faithfulness. Even if that's just what the Lord wants from you, stay the course. Be faithful. I believe if God never gave Hannah a child, Hannah would stay faithful to the Lord. She would endure the other woman in her house because she was a woman of faith. But I'm trying to encourage you to keep investing in your family. Number 3, we see Hannah's strong faith. Hannah's strong faith right here. It appears that family was important to Hannah, but also appears that faith was very important to her as well. Hannah was a woman of strong faith. She believed that God could do the impossible in her life. She didn't went to the local doctor. She went to the altar. Listen, sometimes we don't need to go to the doctor. We need to go to the altar and give it to God. You know, don't get me wrong, there are things that need medical attention. Don't misunderstand me here. Don't think like, well, my pastor says the doctors are no good. No. There are things we need to go to the doctor with. But there are other things, you know what? We just need to go to the altar and give it to God. Some types of anxiety and depression, we can just give it to God and it goes away. But sometimes you need medical attention in those fields. Well, a lot of times our illness is self-induced. We give it to ourselves. We worry too much until we give ourselves a heart attack. Sometimes you just need to give it to the Lord and let the Lord take care of it. So Hannah was a woman of strong faith. She believed that God could do the impossible in her life. Let me ask you this question. Can you believe that God can do the impossible in your life? See, it's easy to point at stories we see in the Bible. What about us personally? As you and I walking in this world, can God do the impossible in my life? God, Lord, this is my greatest desire. Can You do that? Lord, but if You don't do that, I'm okay because I trust You. That's pretty much Hannah right there. She went home. She prayed to God. She went home. She had no certainty in her heart that God was going to give her a child. But the Lord did. See, if my heart's desire, if the Lord really, if, you know, the Lord knows that, is that my dad would be healed and be here still with me. But God chose to take him. You know what? That was not my prayer. My prayer was, Lord, cure him. Bring him home because I need him around here. Believe me, I do miss my dad. But God took him. You know what? I didn't lose my faith in God at all. I know that God's ways are not our ways. He knows better than we know. And I just say, Lord, do ours your will. And I'm good with it. I'm good with it. You see, to me, if the Lord decides me to put on the pew tomorrow and listen to a preacher, I am fine with it. Trusting the Lord. If the Lord chooses me to put some, I'm fine with it. Listen, as long as we trust God and have that deep faith in God like Hannah did, we say, Lord, it doesn't matter. This is my deepest desire. But if you choose not to, then I'm okay, Lord. I tell you why, it takes a lot of faith and a lot of courage and a lot of strength to even to say that to God. So Hannah was a woman of strong, strong faith. Her burden was heavy to bear, but she believed that God could take that away from her. And by faith, she asked the Lord for a man child. Folks, there's nothing wrong about asking the Lord for the desires of our hearts. Let me tell you this. What's the desire of your heart tonight? Take it to the Lord. Talk to Him. And if He says to you in a still small voice, I won't grant that to you, say to the Lord, that's okay, Lord. I still love you and I'll still follow you. Is that hard to say? Yes, it is. It's not easy to say. But sometimes, I believe that Hannah was in that situation right there. Hannah's greatest desire was to be a mother. Can you imagine that? She not today's society, the way society thinks, she wanted to be a mother. You know what? I'm not a lady. Never planned to be one. Never will be one. But, you know, I think that those ladies out there that refuse to have children, they don't know what they're missing. The blessing of a child. I don't have a, my wife is far beyond those days, but let me tell you, she's like Sarah. But anyway, I it's a blessing of having children come into the house. When my grandson comes to the house, it's loud. It's wonderful. Children are wonderful. So folks, nothing wrong about asking the Lord for the desires of our heart. Hannah's greatest desire was to be a mother. She could have any children. She had, I'm sorry, I don't know what I wrote here. But anyway, what about you, like I said? What is the desires of your heart tonight? Are you asking the Lord for them? Look what it says in James chapter 2, verse 4. Ye have not because ye ask not. Look what it says in James chapter 4, verse 3. He asks and receive not because he asks amiss. You know what? You ask with no faith. That is tough words coming from James. Hannah's letter A, personal faith in the Lord. Look at verse 10 and verse 11. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow. And said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look at the affliction of thy handmaid, and remember me, not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And let me tell you, how many Christian families, when their children come and say, Mom, I'm going to be a missionary to India. I'm going to be a missionary to Africa. They do everything they can in their power to take that dream or take that call away from that child. You don't know what you're going to miss. You're going to live in America to go to a third world country. You're out of your mind. Listen, you say, Pastor, that's not. It is true. I heard it before. Hannah had no problem giving that child back to God. And that's what we need to do as Christians. You know, so your child might never go to a foreign country. Your child might never be a Nazarite. But we as Christians, you know what we do need to do? We need to come to the altar and say, Lord, here's my child. I'm giving it to you. I just have the wonderful privilege of raising this child for a time. But I'm going to train them in the ways of the Lord. I'm going to give them to you, Lord. You give that child to me, I'm going to give a child to you. If every parent would do that. In these verses, you see a woman who knows the Lord on a personal level. She prayed, her prayer and her praise we see right here. And she had a personal relationship with the God of Israel. She was a believer, and she openly active. She was a believer, and she was openly and actively practicing her faith. Note this. Do you know the greatest gift you can give your family? This is in your outline. The greatest single investment you can make in life is that of investing in a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you are there in social media and never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can have all kinds of investments. And let me tell you, the reality about investments is this. And if you have, good for you. But if you have investments, is this. One day you will die and somebody else will reap the blessings. But let me tell you, the greatest single and more important investment you can do is admit that you are a sinner, ask God to forgive you, and receive Jesus as your Savior. That's the greatest, most important investment that you can do. Not just a casual brushing up again the things of God, but a real, vital relationship with God. I talked with a young man today, and I witnessed to him at my job, and I said to him, I invite him to church. You know what he said to me? I'm all set. You ever heard those words? I look at him, I said, you all set? Yes. I said, listen, I go a little step further. You know, how could you all set if you never received Jesus as your Savior? All set? Oh, I don't do things. I don't go to church. It's like, oh, listen, but you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's amazing. The first thing they say, I'm all set. You're going to remember those words if you die without Christ. Let it be, we see Hannah's practical faith in the Lord. We see this from verse 10 to verse 18. So Hannah was a woman who possessed a practical faith in God. She didn't just know about him. She knew him and she trusted him for all her needs. The reason why she went to the temple, she traveled there, is because she believed in God. What about you? Don't make church a routine. Please don't do that. Make church a place you go to worship your God, your Savior, your Redeemer. Don't make church like, you know, I go to church, I like the place. You know, don't be like, oh, I like the seats, they're comfortable and warm, the place. No, no. Make church a place you go to worship your Savior, your Redeemer, your God with other believers. It's easy to fall into routine and just do because, you know, that's what I do. I was talking with the pastor this week, and we were talking about the state of our churches today. And amazing what he thinks the same way I'm thinking. He said to me, you know what? I will never give up Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. I don't want to be that pastor with that tag name on me. If I open the church for me and my wife, then we will have service on Wednesday night and Sunday night. That's him telling me. He said, because what we see is more and more is churches are closing their services at night on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights because churches are empty. God's people don't feel the need to go there. That was them talking. I was like, well, I thought it was just me seeing this thing. So we see a practical faith. What's a practical faith? A practical faith is a faith that puts God on everything we do. Something, you go to work and you do your job right, praise God for it. You get to work and didn't get to an accident, you park your car, thank God for it. You walk on the sidewalk, it's snowing outside, and you don't fall on your nose, thank God for it. That's practical faith. It's putting God on everything. That's what Hannah did here. See, she learned, she leaned up on him and trusted him for the impossible in her life. She didn't just talk about having faith in God, she literally lived that faith. Listen, don't be that type of Christian that only remembers God on Sunday. See, note this, Hannah set the standard that we should resolve to meet ourselves. Not only should we possess a testimony concerning our faith, but we must live out that testimony day by day, every single day of our lives. Nothing makes an investment in our lives of any other thing better than having a personal relationship, a vital walk with the Lord. So there on your outline, a practical faith is a proclaiming faith that always points others to Jesus Christ. Make an investment in faith that you can live out day by day. Listen, there's nothing wrong of communing with God and talking to the Lord. Nothing wrong of saying, Lord, you give me a good day today. Thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the people I talk with today. Thank you, Lord, for the people I witnessed today. That's having that practical relationship with the Lord. And all of us work in different places. All of us do different things. But practical faith in the Lord is a faith that is in us and speaks to us, lives in us, and we show it every day. You know, when we have a practical faith in the Lord, even we tell the unsaved the same thing. When they say something, we say, oh, praise the Lord. And they look at you. Try that. Try that. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And they look at you like you have five heads and a half and six heads, and you just, smile and just praise God. You see Hannah's profound faith in the Lord. Did I give you that? Let us see. Hannah's profound faith in the Lord. That's our next point. We see this from verse 20 to verse 23. Look what it says in verse 20 there in your text. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the early yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will go up until the child is weaned, then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. You see the heart of this mother? She was a mother of great, strong faith. She was willing to give that child back to God at such early age. What mother would do that? You tell me. It's like you guys that just had a child. You come to church and some Pastor Barboza and your wife, I give the child to the Lord. You take care of that child. And you guys walk home and rejoicing and praising God. And what about we will take care of it. Don't get me wrong. But see, that's where Hannah is. It's when I go up when the child's not weaned, I'll go there to give it back to the Lord. Wow. That is faith. That is a profound faith. Number four, almost done. Hannah's future investment. Folks, it is wise for each one of us to invest for the future. Actually, future investments is something that so many people do. Most, maybe some of us here do investments, right? For the future. But the passage, let me put it like this. But the passage here is not talking about financial investments. The passage teaches us that the greatest investment and wisest investment is when we invest in the Lord. Some people view God as something that you can take or leave it because he is not that important or relevant in their lives. They don't see how they can invest in God for the future. Hannah, on the other hand, shows us that the best investment you and I can do is when we invest in God. That's the greatest investment. It is an investment that pays dividends now and it will continue for all eternity. Can you imagine that? Listen, I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. Maybe I'll live enough to be a great-grandfather. And let me tell you, imagine those children go to receive Jesus and get saved. Let me tell you, we started with me and my wife. Then it goes to our children. Then it goes to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. It says the blessings keeps on flowing. And when you get to heaven, when they come and march to heaven, you are blessed because they know what? Because somebody started. You know what? We don't think it's like I'm of old age. Nobody really sees me. I don't need to live this way anymore. Yes, you do. Be a testimony to others. Letter A, we see the length of her commitment. We see this in actually 1 Samuel verse 11. And she vowed a vow and said, Lord of hosts, we already read this verse several times. See, Hannah made the ultimate commitment that only a mother can make. She totally gave her child to the Lord. She held nothing back. She committed him to the Lord before he was conceived. She dedicated him to the Lord when he was born, and she gave him to the Lord when he was weaned. You know, when Patrick and Rebecca, I don't know, I think that was the only one we had so far here, when they had that child, they brought it to the child, and we dedicate that child to the Lord. Literally, we give that child back to the Lord. But what we need to do as parents and grandparents, we need to pray for that child. We need to teach that child the ways of the Lord. We need to do those things. It was a tremendous responsibility. So what are you going to do? Give your child to the world or give your child to God? That's a choice every parent is going to do. What are we going to do? Give your child to the world or give your child to God? I'll give you an example. My son Joseph came to me and said, Dad, I need to get a job. I said, oh, good. Need to get a job. So and he did his diligence. He went find a job. I said to him, I don't feel comfortable with this job. I said, why? Because I already went through this one time. I don't want to go. I don't feel comfortable. I want you to have something. So why don't you call your sister and ask her if they need people there at the place we're going right now at the Christian camp. They got him a job. So he's going to work in the Christian camp. That's good. You know what? I want him to be around Christian people so he can mature and grow. So he's going there for the summer. What a blessing. So, you know, sometimes, you know, we have to guide our children. He's too young. Like, you know, I guess this is a father. I feel that he's not mature enough to go in the world and get, you know, I feel I'm very concerned about it. Or the blessing. See, we have to commit ourselves to the Lord, but also guide them along the way. So she totally gave her child to God. And we need to give our child to the Lord. Let God use our children. Note this. This is the kind of commitment God is seeking for his people. He wants us to invest totally on him. He wants us to give all we have and all that we are to him. So what God wants from you? Let me refresh your mind. We're going to close with this. What God wants from each one of us tonight? He wants your talent. Your abilities. He wants you to use the abilities and talents that you have to honor him. You know another thing he wants? He wants your time. You know, we have time for everything in life. Do we have time for God? You say, well, but listen, how often you read God's word? Let me tell you where I am right now. I am in the book of Judges. I'm reading through my Bible. See, you want your talents, you want your time. And yes, hard to tell, yeah, you want your tithes. You know why? Because where your money is, so is your heart. Believe me. And not for me, believe me. Where your money is, so is your heart. And we can put up with God on that one. You see, Hannah was a woman that loved God and had a great, deep faith in him. So note this. This is what every Christian parent should do. They should go before the altar, like I said, like Hannah did, and give their children to the Lord and let the Lord take care of them. Let it be, we see the life of her child. Hannah presented her son Samuel to the Lord, and he, by the grace of God, became a mighty man of God. And let me tell you, it's interesting. He became a mighty man of God to a man who could not raise his own children. We're going to look at this guy. This guy had two wicked boys. And she left that child there, and he was the high priest there. But you see, this man Samuel, he set a stand of righteousness for the nation of Israel. He was a man greatly used of the Lord. He was a man who anointed King David. He was a man who served as the spiritual leader of Israel for many years. He was the man who was because the investment his mother made in his life before he was even born. You know, sometimes we think, what's the use? Let me tell you, invest today on the Lord. Give your children to the Lord today. And let me tell you, in the long run, you will be blessed and you will receive blessings. I tell you what, one of the greatest blessings, I have two children married, and when they talk to me, the first thing they say, Daddy. You know what? They might not understand, but that's the sweetest word a father can hear. Daddy. You know what? God in His Word actually teaches us to call Him Daddy. You know that word, Abba? That's Daddy. See, how many of us He actually even called the Lord Daddy? Not many of us. You see, Hannah's investment in Samuel continued to live on long after she died. Those kind of dividends continue to pay even to this very day, because even today we look at the life of Samuel. I conclude with this. Let's get honest for a few minutes. I know that Hannah made the right investments in her family for the future. She made an investment because she loved the Lord. So what kind of investments are you making for your own life? For your own life. Hannah made an investment in the Lord and paid dividends. It's still paying. What about yours? When you leave this world, what people are going to say about you? When your name comes up, what are they going to say about you? What kind of integrity and character and godliness do you display that people will, when they talk about you? Because if we talk about Hannah, we don't talk bad about or negative about her. We don't talk about negative about Samuel. See, about those things, what about us, our own lives? Let us start new, because God says in His Word, His grace is new every morning. And saying, Lord, from this day on, I'm going to be a person of deep, deep faith like Hannah. And I'm going to serve You for the rest of my days. I see, look at a person right here. That's what I committed to the Lord. I said, Lord, You take this cancer from me. I'm going to serve You for the rest of my days. I meant that with all my heart. And that's my goal. Even if it's just me and my wife and everybody goes the other way, I'm going to still serve my Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, so much for this passage. What a great passage of Scripture. We can go many different routes with this passage. But Lord, You give me this message. And I thank You for it. Lord, may we have a faith that deep like Hannah. May we have that commitment that deep like Hannah. May, Lord, we choose to give our own selves to You, to be used of You for the rest of our days. Lord, don't matter what this world goes, don't matter what this society thinks, Lord, help us to always keep our eyes on the mark like Paul did. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, folks. We have...